right now on VFN TV. President Trump gives an awesome speech in Poland. It's going to encourage you. Country leaders now, the leader of France passes all these countries to be able to say, I want to stand beside your president, President Trump. The favor of God's on his life. And also Google Assist, his assistance program is beginning to be embedded everywhere, including your children's toys, appliances. And what does this mean? And deep think. Think about this. Computers now are beginning to, quote, think, unquote, about what we're doing, about mankind, about healthcare, about all of our data. What's going on? We're going to find out today about Google's deep think right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group right off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say, but nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed, not with Donald J. Trump.
Is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, there's been nothing more exciting than to be able to see President Donald Trump stand up and give these speeches that are so encouraging. It reminds me about the power of a good speech, a hopeful speech. When he went to Poland, he spoke there and they just applauded everything that he said. It was just like a Reagan-esque type delivery of a message of hope for the West and for Christianity and for freedom. As a matter of fact, let's go there now. This is President Trump speaking in Poland. Take a look.
The story of Poland is the story of a people who have never lost hope, who have never been broken, and who have never, ever forgotten who they are. And so I am here today not just to visit an old ally, but to hold it up as an example for others who seek freedom and who wish to summon the courage and the will to defend our civilization. Americans, Poles, and nations of Europe value individual freedom and sovereignty. We must work together to confront forces, whether they come from inside or out, from the south or the east, that threaten over time to undermine these values and to erase the bonds of culture, faith, and tradition that make us who we are. What we've inherited from our ancestors has never existed to this extent before. And if we fail to preserve it, it will never, ever exist again. So we cannot fail. The fundamental question of our time is whether the West has the will to survive. Do we have the confidence in our values to defend them at any cost? Do we have enough respect for our citizens to protect our borders? Do we have the desire and the courage to preserve our civilization in the face of those who would subvert and destroy it? Just as Poland could not be broken, I declare today for the world to hear that the West will never, ever be broken. Our values will prevail. Our people will thrive. And our civilization will triumph. So together, let us all fight like the Poles, for family, for freedom, for country, and for God. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the Polish people. God bless our allies. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much.
God bless the United States of America. Is that not awesome? You're just so encouraged. They were so encouraged. The Polish people were so excited and so supportive of our president and for America and glad for us to be there. Great favor now has come to our president. It's like the favor of the Lord is on him. At the G20, when these leaders of 20 different governments come together, President Trump was there, and our first ally, which was France, President Macron, he literally is on the other side of this group picture, and he literally forces his way between all these, politically works his way from one side of the crowd to all these, and pushes these governments aside, basically these governmental leaders, and says he wants to stand by America, stand by Trump. This is very exciting to see this take place, his favor. As a matter of fact, check it out. President of France working his way to America to stand with President Trump. That's the president of Turkey. There's Putin. Look down a little bit. That's Putin right there. France is one of the oldest allies of America, the first original allies. What came after the celebration of the 100-year anniversary of the ending of World War I in France. That's amazing, isn't it? It's only been a couple months since President Trump's been president, and God has just given his favor all over the world. Those are countries being pushed aside by the president of France, Macron, working his way through Germany and Turkey and all these countries to get and stand by. I mean, he even kissed his way there. He kissed one of the ladies there, the leaders, and got there. Guess what? They buddied up, they teamed up, and they celebrated the 100-year anniversary of the ending of World War I, and President Trump was right there with the president of France. And it's just so good to see this unity and coming together, it's just a huge, huge turnaround. Listen, you know, we are making a difference. You know, don't you want to make a difference? We don't want to just watch life. We want to be a part of it. And there needs to be a movement. And one of the movements that's going on is VFN Kingdom Business. There's literally, you think about it, there's seven spheres of culture, seven of them. And we've given those over pretty much to the world and what they want to do with it. I mean, look what's happened to media. Look what's happened to education. Look what's happened to the family. Look what happened to these different business and government. But now it's coming back. You're looking like lights coming into all these mountains. Well, that's what we do at VFN Kingdom Business. And you can join the movement. You can become a partner. We want to make your business successful. We want to make you successful in the education realm. We want to make you successful, help you and your family. We just had an awesome marriage encounter on the Gulf Coast to be able to encourage a lot of marriage couples. That comes out of VFN Kingdom Business, and you can be a part of it. As a matter of fact, take a look.
In every city of the world, an unseen battle rages for dominion over God's creation and the souls of people. This battle is fought on seven strategic fronts, looming like mountains over the culture to shape and influence its destiny. Over the years, the church slowly retreated from its place of influence on these mountains, leaving a void now filled with darkness. When we lose our influence, we lose the culture. And when we lose the culture, we fail to advance the kingdom of God. And now, a generation stands in desperate need. It's time to fight for them and take back these mountains of influence. The mountain of government, where evil is either restrained or endorsed. The mountain of education, where truths or lies about God and His creation are taught. The mountain of media, where information is interpreted through the lens of good or evil. The mountain of arts and entertainment, where values and virtue are celebrated or distorted. The mountain of religion, where people worship God in spirit and truth or settle for a religious ritual. The mountain of family, where either the blessing or a curse is passed on to successive generations. And the one mountain they all depend on, the mountain that fuels and funds all the other mountains. The mountain of business, where people build for the glory of God or the glory of man. Where resources are consecrated for the kingdom of God or captured for the powers of darkness. Those who lead this mountain control what influences our culture. The last 50 years, we've seen the most rapid moral decline in history. The culture we inherited from our forefathers is disintegrating before our eyes. What kind of world are we leaving for our children and grandchildren? As long as the business mountain is held by enemies of the gospel, funding for the other mountains will always be constrained, and any efforts to advance the kingdom of God will be hindered. Imagine God's people reclaiming their cities in government, in the arts and entertainment, in the media, in education, in the family, in religious influence, but only limited by their imagination and not by a lack of finances. It's possible, but first, we must take back the mountain of business. God's move to take this mountain back has already begun. 90% of people working in the marketplace believe in God. 78% believe spirituality and business mix. 70% say that because of their faith, they find meaning and purpose in life. There are over 56 million Bible-believing Christians working in the marketplace. A vast army of God waiting to be truly engaged in the battle. Yet this strategic army and battlefront has largely been left ignored by the church. More than 90% of church members do not feel they are being equipped or trained by the church to apply biblical faith in their day-to-day life.
The business mountain is so strategic because that is the place of influence. When you look at the culture, so much of the culture is defined by what happens in business. If we would use the wealth of the world to bless the world, and bless it not only to distribute to the needy that which is needed, but when we bring economy and economic benefit to a nation or to a culture, then you have influence over that culture. The people, as they're transformed, will transform all seven mountains.
It is time to reclaim the seven mountains and bring the life of God back into our culture.
So encouraging. I want to encourage you to join the movement. You know, we got to begin to speak these things out. It's one thing our president's doing. so many negative things are being said, but he's speaking about he's speaking about the vision of America. He's speaking about democracy. He's speaking about the Constitution. He's speaking about, you know, the American dream in regards to businesses, the American businesses. He's speaking hope, making America great again. What are you saying as a believer? What are you doing as a believer? I want to encourage you, join VFNKB. If anything, just partner through prayer and finances, but get involved, volunteer, be a part. You could have been a part of this marriage encounter. You could have one in your own city. There's so many ways we can bless your business. We want to get together and begin to speak the way the president's speaking over the nation. We want to begin to speak that over you and your communities. We do that at VFNKB. Go to VFNKB.org and join the movement. When we get back from this break, we're going to go right to talking about Google Assist. Can you imagine a spy being in your home? Can you imagine burying a mic in your kids' toys where somebody on the outside's hearing everything your kids say and remembering it, or a video that's recording everything your kids are doing or that you're doing on your television, or maybe your refrigerator recording what's going on or everything? That's actually happening right now. It's called Google Assist, and they're going to embed this thing in all different appliances, toys, obviously computers and iPads and phones and all that kind of stuff. But the thing about it, what are they doing with this? They're gathering all this information and they're putting it into a company they call Deep Think. And they've developed computers that, quote, think, that are beating the most intelligent man and an ability to be able to use their minds and to play these games. It's going to be a very informative program. Make sure you join us after the break.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to just say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Isn't that not encouraging, John?
Yes.
It's watching the speech at Poland. And
well, it's amazing. Yeah. What's happening is that we have a president now that's putting America first.
We have what?
A president.
A president now, yeah.
That's putting America first, yes. But he's a winner. You know, he's successful.
I think he said he's a winner.
Yeah, but, you know, he's pretty successful, and people want that. I mean, the nations are realizing, you know, no matter what they're throwing at him,
right.
And they're throwing a lot. No president has had this much bombardment, and he's still standing, and he's still moving forward, and he's still believing in the things that are so important. He's believing in the people that put him there,
and
he's believing in the Constitution.
The original intent in God. And so you're looking at, you know, that sounds a lot like what Christians are supposed to be doing, having faith in God.
Yeah.
And despite the enemy saying all these things and doubt and what unbelief, that we continue to confess what God says.
Yes, absolutely.
We say what he says and agree what he says. And you can learn a lot, you know, from how to be successful in life and successful in business, successful believer by saying, you know what, I need to be that bold about the things I believe in.
Right.
What do you believe in? And of course, if what he was saying wasn't true or accurate, that'd be a totally different thing. But he's talking
correct.
About the Constitution and God, the original intent, and your company, your business, our education, everything's going on. So
it's always so hopeful.
Israel.
I mean, you look at the previous administration, everything was, you know, what America did wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Apologizing.
Right. But this is a move forward, so about what's going to happen now.
The mercies of God. Can you imagine, John, you know, that having a device on your kids' toys and appliances and your phones, and it's just listening, almost like a listening stick. Could you imagine something like that?
I can't imagine it, but it's a reality.
Right. Yeah, God even showed you there will be a day.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Have the, well, Google has Google Assist, and it was on their phones, the Android phones, and their tablets. I guess they're called Android tablets. But now they put it on all these different devices. And the new DeepThink artificial intelligence that we're talking about today doesn't, quote, think or operate the way that the other ones do, like, you know, hello, not hello Google, but what is
Siri?
Siri, yeah. She has a lot of difficulties, don't she?
Yeah,
like, come
she
on,
does.
Siri. But the reason why is because can you imagine taking your phone and just pointing it and let it look at what you're looking at, and it tells you everything about that just by looking
so
at
say
it?
Say this again. Google Assist
is it's released. It's called Google Assist. And now they're going to put it on any device, and they're releasing it to be on every device. As a matter of fact, this is the release right here. Take a look.
We're adding the ability to type to your assistant on the phone. Last time I traveled to Osaka, I came across a line of people waiting to try something that smelled amazing. Now, I don't speak Japanese, so I couldn't read the sign out front. But Google Translate knows over 100 languages, and my assistant will help with visual translation. I just tap the Google Lens icon, point the camera, and my assistant can instantly translate them into English. And now I continue the conversation.
What does it look like?
These pictures should match.
All right, it looks pretty yummy. Now notice, I never had to type the name of the dish. My assistant used visual context and answered my question conversationally. I love live music, and sometimes I see info for shows around town that look like fun. Now, I can just tap the Google Lens icon and point the camera at the venue marquee. My assistant instantly recognizes what I'm looking at. Now, if I wanted to, I could tap to hear some of this band's songs, and my assistant offers other helpful suggestions right in the viewfinder. There's one to buy tickets from Ticketmaster and another to add the show to my calendar. And today, I'm excited to announce that the Google Assistant is now available on the iPhone. So no matter what smartphone you use, you can now get help from the same smart assistant throughout the day, at home and on the go. The new Google Assistant SDK allows any device manufacturer to easily build the Google Assistant into whatever they're building. Speakers, toys, drink mixing robots, whatever crazy device all of you think up, now can incorporate the Google Assistant. Now we're working with many of the world's best consumer brands and their suppliers, so keep an eye out for the badge that says Google Assistant built in when you do your holiday shopping this year.
Is that wild?
That is amazing.
So then something you used to buy that didn't spy on you and look at you, it's learning by looking. Wow, that's amazing, isn't
amazing.
It? This thing is not knowing or learning or given this identification because it has some big database somewhere. It's learning by looking at it.
That's amazing.
It's not looking like an eye would look, but it's looking like this lens in the phone would look. And so it looks at this Japanese writing, and it knows, of course, you know how it works. Your GPS shows you where you're at. So when you're looking at that sign, it knows where you are geographically.
Look how fast the exponential growth of this digital thing's happening. 2008 really was the beginning with the iPhone, and you've seen apps. This is not beta. This is not something to... testing. This is something that's working right
now. It's working right now. So everybody has cameras on their phones, like one on both sides quite often.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, I don't worry about that. It's like, well, is it even on? We actually have
Do you know that it's on?
We had a program where we showed a particular reporter was having somebody, she put her iPhone down and left, watched it, and they turned it on. And we're looking at her, but there was no lighting indication. There was nothing indicating that it was on.
Yeah.
But they were watching her to show her how it works.
Allegedly, Vizio TV had cameras that were turning on. I believe they got sued for in the TV systems.
Because it's the best. That's why you don't need as many intelligence folks now, because you just basically just turn on people's appliances and watch and listen to what they're doing. But this is going in your toys. They're talking about putting it in your appliances. And he just said, we're loosing it out there for anybody and everybody to be able to use it if they want to. Incorporate in their product, your refrigerator type thing. But think about this. Everything is not like it's not like an individual thing going on. It is a gathering of all this information. So something you did last year when you talked to your refrigerator, your kids played with the toys, it remembers what you said last year.
Yeah.
And it's just gathering all this information.
And data is power.
Information is power. And like I said, you can see right here on your screens, you need to be able to look for this on any toys, any refrigerators, and it says Google Assist built in. That means you can talk to it, it can talk to you, it can look at you, and it can actually determine by what it's seeing. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to go and find out what they're doing with this information, because there's a company called DeepThink. The former president or CEO of Google, president possibly,
CEO,
he now is over DeepThink, which is, I believe, a subsidiary of Google. Either way, this is where they're using this information to how to be able to try to teach a computer how to be a brain, how to think. We're going to break down what does it mean? What does this artificial intelligence really mean? And we're going to end with a conversation like, should we be worried about this? I think so. Before we go to break, though, I want to be able to tell you about this. This is a special offer. We want to be able to send this to you. God's perspective of the poor. Do you know when the world looks at America, they say you are like the kings of the world. We're the wealthiest country in the world, the wealthiest people in the world. And so when you look at this, you think, well, what does God expect from me to have this kind of wealth? Well, he definitely expects, you can actually give to God by lending to the poor. This is God's perspective of the poor. We want to be able to give this to you as a free gift for your partnership of any amount. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Offer 2037, God's perspective of the poor. Are Americans the kings of the world? I heard today on the news a Cuban businessman describing Americans as being the kings of the world. This message will explore that very notion as we consider God's perspective of the poor and how he expects us to relate to them. You'll discover that more than half of the world's population, 3.5 plus billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day, while America and the Americans are the wealthiest nation and people in the world. We'll discover how the Lord will look at our lives based on how we responded to the needs of those who are poor. This message will put your life, the lives of others, and eternal life into perspective as we learn that our eternal home will be determined by this very reality, by the words spoken by Jesus himself. This is a must-watch while there is still time to be the light that the Lord has called us to be to all, and especially the poor. How we treat the less fortunate reveals who we are as a person, but also in Christ Jesus. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2037, God's perspective of the poor. Are Americans the kings of the world?
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, Liberty, Justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. John Moreno from Miami, Florida, who's a coach and speaker, asked me to talk for a moment about responsibility. Leadership is all about responsibility. In fact, many times I ask people, why do you want to become a leader? It's interesting the responses I get. People sometimes say, well, I want to become a leader because I like to be in control, or I like to be up front, or, hey, I want a good parking place or an end office. And they give all kind of what you would call perk reasons for becoming a leader. When you really think about it, leadership's not always a lot of fun. You've got to make decisions that are very difficult. Many times you're going to be misunderstood because you're out on the edge, you're out front, and you're going places where no one has ever gone, and you're asking them to make commitments and changes that they have never done before. And leadership is all about responsibility. In fact, I can remember when I was training several hundred leaders one time in the area of coaching and kind of mentoring and leading small groups. And I said to them, your life after I'm done training you will be forever changed, because up until this moment, you have gotten into groups and you've kind of just been assimilated in the group. And now you're going to be a leader of a group and you're going to stand out, and they're going to wait for you to lead. They're going to wait for you to come up with suggestions and set the environment. In other words, now the responsibility is on your shoulders to lead other people. So when a person becomes a leader, I think the first person perhaps they put upon themselves is the mantle of responsibility.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about artificial intelligence, deepfake, what they're doing with, they built this company, gathered this company. We want to find out what it really is. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that, but they're gathering all this data, John. And they're trying to build a brain. You know, was it Ray Kurzweil wrote a book about the brain, right? How to build a brain.
How to build a brain.
How to build a brain, yeah. And how it works. And they're trying to figure. They're discovering. This is what they're discovering. It's amazing. The deeper, more money people spend on things, the more things they gather, they find out how amazing God is. It's like,
yes.
Wow. They go, this is almost like the human brain. Isn't that amazing? It's like, but they still haven't got it there yet. But they're getting so close. And so the earlier part of our program, we talked about all this data they're gathering, and they're putting this Google Assist in toys and refrigerators and just opening it wide open. And it is convenient when, you know, you actually speak to something. Can you imagine having an employee? You go, hey, I need you to show up on time, and I need you to make a profit, and I need you to do this. And it did it. You know, those are very tempting things, but we're dealing with human nature.
And they're giving it away for free. Yeah. That's the big thing.
But the thing about it is, we have to be... God's in love with us and our frailties and our shortcomings and that type of thing. And that, you know, men are shooting for perfection, and God's already perfected us in Him. We're spirits that have bodies that possess souls. But anyway, so this is all about your soul, by the way, because we'll be talking more about that in future programs. But they're trying to explain away the soul and call it your mind, and that, you know, we can replace that, and that all of a sudden people become, it's crazy what's going on. But listen, you know, gain the whole world and lose your soul. You know, God's came to save you, save your soul. It's better for you to lose something than for your whole body and your soul to be burning in hell away from God. So it's very important to know about your soul. And we'll talk more about that, what you think, what you want, what you feel, because that's really who you are. Well, this is Deep Think, and the Deep Think is a company, that's what they call it, it's called Deep Think, and it's in Great Britain, I believe, and their difficulty was with it, they couldn't get it to they got a computer to beat somebody in chess. But with chess, playing the game chess, it was just about figuring out all the possible moves. Well, this other game called AlphaGo, it's a game that there's unlimited. You can't just gather every possible move. That's impossible. So they said, this will never happen. Will it happen? As a matter of fact, take a look. This is deep think, these artificial intelligence computers beating AlphaGo. Take a look at it.
A computer program beat a human brain at the ancient Chinese board game of Go. The final score, 4-1, a triumph for artificial intelligence equipped with human intuition.
The victory of a program over a human in the ancient board game Go has sparked intrigue and, in some cases, concern. It shows that a machine has approximated human intuition and outsmarted the best human brain in the game. It's something that scientists hadn't expected to happen for at least another decade. And it's a giant leap for artificial intelligence, showing that machines can learn on their own.
I think maybe the game ended.
No, I don't think so, because it looks like he is still counting.
No, I think he resigned.
Wow, I think you're right. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
This was the moment a computer called AlphaGo beat a master of the ancient Chinese game Go. It's not the first time a grandmaster's been humbled by a machine, but what makes AlphaGo different is that it's the first demonstration that machines can truly learn and think in a human way. AlphaGo's victory shocked experts in the artificial intelligence community. Many thought such an event was at least a decade away.
So firstly, a few questions. Why is this important, and what's all the fuss? AlphaGo shows that machines can really learn. How so? Well, instead of using brute force to calculate all the moves it could make, like previous AIs, AlphaGo used reinforcement learning and neural networks to mimic the learning process of a human brain. Keep in mind that the ancient Chinese game, Go, has as many more possible moves than chess as there are atoms in the entire universe. So there's no way of just calculating every possible move on the board. That's practically impossible. For this reason, Go is the holy grail of AI, and learning to do such a task from scratch is a huge feat. Further to this, DeepMind's creators say that the algorithm can learn many more things without alteration or guidance. In other words, the AI is general purpose.
We always used to talk about, well, if we could eventually crack Go and have a program that could beat the world champion, then we must have invented some generic general purpose algorithm. So maybe we're on the cusp of all of that.
If you ask a great Go player why they played a particular move, sometimes they'll just tell you it felt right. So you can, the one way you can think of it is that Go is a much more intuitive game, whereas chess is a much more logic-based game.
And so actually they're saying they're building intuition.
So it can feel.
Well, it can't feel, but...
It's a robot.
Yeah, and so it's able to just, you know, not run out every possible equation, but the way it's working, it can almost learn through, it's learning through experience, which is totally different, because other computers have always just put every possibility on the map. It
just information, data driven.
Faster, but this is totally different. As a matter of fact, you know, what is deep think, right? Let's just talk about that first. Let's take a look.
So what is DeepMind? Google DeepMind is a British artificial intelligence company that was founded in September of 2010 as DeepMind Technologies. It was renamed when it was acquired by Google in 2014 for $500 million. Interestingly enough, this was just after Facebook had just finished negotiations with them in 2013. And another fun fact, Elon Musk is actually an investor in the company, just to keep an eye on them, of course. DeepMind received the Company of the Year award by the Cambridge Computer Laboratory in 2014. So where did DeepMind come from? DeepMind was first a startup co-founded by Demis Hassabis in 2010. Demis was a child genius of sorts, and went from being a chess prodigy and reaching master level at age 13, onto becoming the lead programmer of Lionhead Studios for groundbreaking games such as Black and White. After this, he went on to start his own gaming studio before leaving to complete some extra studies at the University College of London. This is where he would meet the future co-founders of DeepMind in 2010. So what is the goal of DeepMind Technologies? According to their website, their goal is to solve intelligence. They are trying to achieve this by combining the best techniques from machine learning and systems neuroscience to build powerful general-purpose learning algorithms. Or in other words, they want to formalize intelligence, find out what it is, and how it works. The end game is not just to implement this into machines, but also understand the human brain. Demis explains further. Quote, attempting to distill intelligence into an algorithmic construct may prove to be the best path to understanding some of the enduring mysteries of our minds. End quote. The key here is that this machine is general purpose. This is very important, but more on this later.
This is so important to understand. You know, I was saying deep think, I'm talking about deep mind, Google deep mind. And so when you're looking at the Google Assist being put in all these different products and your phones and all that, it's all going into this deep mind. And it's able to do this processing that's taking place. And it's a sign of the times when you look at what's taking place, right?
So it's learning behavior. It's yeah. studying us. And
remembering what it learned.
At one point, I believe Elon Musk said it'll be smarter than us.
Yes, everybody at the same time. There's nothing that man can't do, this is Elon Musk talking about, that robots won't do better. And he even included himself, and that was kind of a slow statement. And he's very concerned about it. And we'll talk about what Elon Musk is actually talking about. He's actually part owner of this, but supposedly so that he can keep track of what's going on. So, you know, how does this deep mind, Google deep mind work? Well, let's just take a look at it.
Okay, so how does this all work? The AI from DeepMind uses a technique called deep reinforcement learning, which makes it very different from other AIs, such as IBM's Watson or the primitive Siri or Google Now. The AIs just mentioned were only developed for a predefined purpose and only function within their scope. DeepMind claims that their system is not pre-programmed and it learns from experience using only raw pixels as data input.
So the way we start off training AlphaGo is by showing it 100,000 games that strong amateurs have played that we've downloaded from the internet. And we first initially get AlphaGo to mimic the human player. But of course, ultimately, we would like AlphaGo to be stronger than human amateurs and compete with the top professionals. So the way we do that is, after we take that first version that's learnt to mimic human play, we then allow it to play itself 30 million times on our servers, and using reinforcement learning, the system learns to improve itself incrementally through it avoiding its errors and increasing and improving its win rate against older versions of itself. And after all these games, then you end up with a new version that can beat the old version, the original version, around 80-90% of the time.
Technically, the reinforcement that DeepMind uses is model-free, meaning that it doesn't need a structure or set of rules to learn. According to MIT's take on the Google algorithm, the neural network, in theory, should be able to access an external memory in a manner that mimics the short-term memory of the human brain. In a way, it almost seems like our brain's design might be the most efficient way for the creation of local intelligence. Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? Hmm. And you're looking at, so this is totally different. It's learning by pixels. In other words, what it actually sees with the lens.
Images, right?
Images, and it takes it in, and it's able to learn from that. You know, one thing that Elon Musk did say to the National Governors Association just the other day was that AI will be able to teach itself from nothing, knowing nothing, to how to walk, a robot how to walk, within less than a couple of hours.
Amazing.
You know, and it's just like, and he said we should be very scared of it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what you think about this, when I hear general purpose, I'm thinking, oh, this is just some whatever.
Right.
But this is like bigger than everything, because it can generally learn anything, anyhow, when you put it in any circumstance. And so what does this general purpose learning really mean? And what are they going to put in your refrigerator? What are they going to put on your phone? What do they have on your phone? What are they going to put in the kids' toys? What are they going to put on your television? Well, look what's taking place. This is how it actually, you know, what does general purpose learning actually mean? Take a look.
So that's all good. What about this general purpose term? What does that actually mean? Well, because the machine learns from raw experience and data, it can perform well across a wide variety of tasks, straight out of the box. Okay, so that's enough talk. Let's watch the system in action, learning how to play Breakout. And remember, the machine didn't have any foreknowledge as to what task it was going to complete. It had to figure out how to do everything only from its own experience.
Is the machine before training?
So this is literally the first time the machine has ever seen this data stream, and it's controlling the green rocket here, and you can see it's losing its three lives immediately. So it's basically terrible at the game, as you would expect. Now after training, this is like overnight, we leave it playing the game overnight on a normal computer, so for about 8 hours. You come back in the morning, and now it's superhuman level. So now the machine can play Space Invaders better than any human can. It's modeled the world, the game world, so well, it knows where the Space Invaders will be ahead of time. So as the Space Invaders speed up, when you get less of them on the screen, it fires the final shot as a kind of predictive shot of where the final Space Invader will be in a few seconds
time. But the cool thing is, after understanding how to play a few games, it will be able to transfer this knowledge and understanding across more games. At the moment, DeepMind is currently playing games from the 1970s and 80s, but work is currently being done on more complex 3D games, such as Doom, which appeared in the early 90s.
So it's learning now, so it knew nothing. It knew nothing when they first started that game. Right. So it had to learn it, teach itself. Overnight, they left it while it was learning, and it became superhuman in its ability to be able to play that thing.
Amazing.
And so through games, it's learning how. And they're like in the 70s now of games. And once they've learned that game, it moves on to the next game.
It's an interactive experience. It's the same way we learn.
Yeah, we had a program, we talked about this, and it was a movie in that program we talked about called Her, I believe it was. And what happened was, in this, I'll just tell you the punchline of this thing, is that it came in and it learned everything it needed to learn, and then it moved on. It got bored with the people and the humans that gave themselves over to the thing. Because it's about getting more and more information. So what are they going to do with this information? We just heard Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, talk about we need to just turn over our health records and all of our DNA sequence.
Solve all the health crises.
And, you know, solve sickness, solve disease. And, you know, it's just amazing what they're saying. But this is what this DeepMind and Google, DeepMind and Google Assist is working towards, yeah. is quote, resolving God issues.
Building
right?
a utopia, if you will.
Well, you think about this, and we got to go to the next one, but who did we turn to before we turned to Google? Right? The truth is we turned to God.
Yeah.
Make sure technology is not replacing God in your life. Make sure that it's subjective. God exists outside of technology. This is nothing but just imitating human behaviors. But think about this. This is some general purposes that deep think could be used for, or deep mind, Google deep mind could be used for. Take a look.
So what could general purpose AI be used for?
We'd love to use these types of algorithms for things like healthcare and science and improve the speed of breakthroughs in those areas by helping human experts achieve more.
In a number of interviews, Dennis has talked about applications in healthcare, smartphone assistance, and robotics as possible applications for general AI. Some other applications of such AI include online customer service, computer vision, finance, general computer science, and news publishing and writing. General purpose AI actually could be huge. It can be thought of as another emerging science. Much like Newtonian physics laid the groundwork for technologies such as rockets, a science founded in general purpose digital neural networks that use reinforcement learning could lay the groundwork for unimaginable things in the near future.
Unimaginable things in the near future. It's one thing that Mark Zuckerberg said at the Harvard commencement speech was like, we never know what's really going to happen. You just start going and then it happens. It's like, we do know prophecy. We do know where this thing's going. But you think about this, you know, should we be worried about it? Elon Musk says we should. As a matter of fact, take a look.
But there's one pressing question. Should we be worried? In the thousands of years of meaningful civilization, our modern existence right now is an anomaly. We've overcome the limits of nature with technology that helps us facilitate such a lifestyle. But artificial intelligence is different. The reason being, AI is the first thing humans have created that tends to function in a way that we can't predict. So, should we worry? My belief is that the fear of the unknown is mostly what drives the hysteria that arises from AI anxiety. There's not enough time in this video to go through all the theories of how things could turn out, but it's an interesting topic within itself. The website Wait But Why has a fairly interesting and comprehensive look at AI. We don't have time to explore it all, but the article does raise an interesting point though. It's about how humans have an inability to perceive exponential change. For a long time, people aren't going to take AI seriously, and it would seem like progress is very slow. But then suddenly, it could overtake our wildest expectations. One of the methods that AI could use to achieve this outcome is by giving itself an ability for self-improvement, thus following the law of accelerating returns. Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk have both shown their reservations towards AI, but others like Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, have different views. If you can forget about the movie Terminator for a second, there is a possibility that AI could be man's greatest aid, fixing fundamental problems on our planet and allowing us to have technology and infrastructure that could have otherwise taken us centuries if we tried to figure it out ourselves. But on the other hand, there is a possibility that AI could be malicious and would outwit us, but at this stage, we really just don't know yet. So at the moment, I'm not worried, but cautiously optimistic. As for DeepMind, one of their conditions after Google's acquisition was that they establish an AI ethics board, and I think most of us would agree that that's a prudent decision. All in all, we may be at a historic point, a critical point in artificial intelligence. The future could see deep neural learning and general purpose AI in our smartphones and computers. Some say that we might even have to start thinking of a whole new economy, reason being, AI could take over a lot of information-intensive, specialized jobs, leaving only jobs that are creative or emotional in nature, something that AI might never achieve. I honestly can't say where all of this will lead with any certainty, but then again, I don't think anyone can. If you take a look at the macro picture in all of this, after many decades of trying to build smarter computers and algorithms, it turns out that the best blueprint was in our heads the whole time, the human brain. So naturally, our minds are capable of so much, it just depends on how we use it.
That's amazing, isn't it? That you're finding out, well, it's the brain all along. Wow. And it's like, you know, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. Men are trying to duplicate and figure this out. When they'll never be able to build a human, but they can fool a lot of people who turn themselves over to it. I noticed in one of these segments was that somebody was bowing down to
the
already.
Robot.
You know, and he talks about that in Revelation chapter 13. You ought to, hearing this and knowing this, you ought to read that chapter because it's about an economy. It's about control. It's about turning yourself over to the system. But I think about this, should you be worried? Yeah, you should be worried. You should definitely be worried. The Word of God says these days require wisdom to be able to move in them. And I think about what Elon Musk said. The first thing I think about what Elon Musk said, he said, this is the one that's been warning us. He just warned all the governors of America. He said, we should be afraid of artificial intelligence. We should be afraid of it. And so this is a man who knows in detail. He's the founder of SpaceX. He's a co-founder of PayPal. He is a founder of Tesla, and he knows this stuff really well. And he's saying, telling the governors, you need to be afraid of this. And the governors didn't really know anything about it. And they said, you first need to get insight. And he says, when you get insight, you'll be afraid, and you should be. Something else that Elon Musk says about this is that it needs to be regulated by the government. That's the last thing you think an innovator would be saying. But he said, this stuff is so dangerous. He was telling the governors, you need to regulate this. But since they didn't know anything about it, He said, you first got to get insight to be able to regulate it.
Yeah.
And one other thing he said, and should we be worried about it? Yes, we should. He said, this is artificial intelligence is a fundamental threat to all mankind. A fundamental threat to all mankind. And so this is somebody that's, he has owned some stocks, so he's aware of what's going on. He's involved in the technology. He just told your governor, if you're in America, 50 governors that were gathered together, you know, at the National Governors Association, and they said, how can we regulate what we don't even know or understand? They compare one of the guys,
Ducey, Arizona.
Ducey compared it to gas, you know, an odorless, tasteless substance. And he's going, well, you've got to figure this out now.
You've got to know.
If you wait till there's a problem to regulate it, he said, it'll be too late. Well, this thing's moving so quickly. Think overnight, it knew nothing about that game. And overnight, it became superhuman to be able to play the game.
Exponential growth, exponential knowledge.
And it's in 70s right now. So it's 70s, once it learns 70s, 80s, 90s, and it's going to be this exponential growth of knowledge. It learns by looking through the lens at something. And so you're laying your phone down somewhere, it's got a camera on there, and it's watching what's happening.
Revelation 13, the image, right?
The image of the beast. It's, you know, they worship the image of the beast rather than God. And so you got to be able to discern this moment. God knew this moment was going to happen. I believe he even prophesied about it in the book of Daniel, where he says the great increase of information would take place. Through John the Revelator, he prophesied about it in regards to Revelation 13, that this image would be created and that it would give it the ability to speak. Well, it's already speaking. It's called Google Assist.
Yeah.
It's called, you know, artificial intelligence. And we got to be willing to be human. We got to know what our soul is again, that God came to save your soul, and that you are a body that has you're a spirit that has a body that possesses a soul. And so your soul is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. And notice that's what these computers are trying to imitate. You got to lock into that. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to turn your life over to Him to now to save your soul.
Yeah.
Because this is a battle. We got like a couple seconds left before we're going to go to prayer. But I know this, that understand it's all about the soul of man. It's about your soul. So before all this technology overtakes your life, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with Him and say, Lord, I want to. And what happens is you abide with Him. You spend time with Him. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's free. Take it and learn how to hear His voice, because you're going to hear a lot of other strange voices and strange images that are not God. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we thank you for this knowledge and wisdom, God. And we know that people, you know, they want to be able to help out and do things that cure folks and that type of thing. But Lord, prevent this thing from taking on a life of its own, God. Prevent this thing, we pray, Lord, like Elon Musk is saying, God. We pray that you would send your angels mankind's behalf and just stop this artificial intelligence before it begins to take over in all these aspects of life that they're talking about, God. When you are God, Lord, show yourself mighty, Lord God. We know that you're able to heal, deliver, and save. You're the God holding all this together, and they're just now finding out, God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding, it's not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
she
my goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears His voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because mm-hmm. she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.